John 10, we'll start at verse number 10. Actually, we'll just read that one particular verse and then I'll go some other places. Amen. He says, the thief comes not but for to kill. No, he says to steal. He's strategic. He really comes to steal people's joy first, because he know your joy is your strength. Once he gets your strength, he know you can't resist him, and then he'll target you to kill you. So I ain't talking about necessarily naturally, I'm talking about spiritually. He'll start stealing from people. He'll get people so down and depressed. He'll get them so out of it that they don't even want to resist him anymore, and they just give in. I like to watch those little animal clips, and I watched this lion actually do this to an animal before. And he just waited, you know, he had him. He waited till that thing that wildebeest, he waited till he done struggled and struggled and struggled and struggled, and he got tired of struggling, and then he did what he did. And that's what the enemy do it. He takes people's strength for them. He gets them so depleted and down on life that they stop resisting him, but he's targeted. But he don't mess with strong Christians as much. Do you hear me? As long as you're strong, he don't come at you like that. He'll attack you undermined. He'll try to sneak you. He'll do that. But I'm talking about a vicious attack. He only do that when a person is weak. Say, I'm strong in the Lord. He says, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it what? More abundantly. Father, think through my mind, speak through my mouth, that your people be edified, you be glorified after hearing the word of truth. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Father God, I step back that you can step forward. I ask for utterance. I ask for understanding. I ask for the anointing that you'll be able to do what only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. You can have your seat. I'm going to be talking about today securing your surplus. From the same thought last week, your blessed assurance. And the blessed assurance is Jesus is never going to leave you. He's never going to abandon you. He's never going to allow you to be put in any type of situation where you cannot overcome, that you cannot come out, that you cannot get the victory at some point. Jesus is never going to allow us to be in a place to where you cannot come out, that you cannot overcome, and that you cannot stand back and praise God for the victory in the end. He's never going to let you be in that condition. And as long as you got that hope in God, you know that at some point, whatever's up against me can turn just like that. Just like a leaf is blowing in the wind, I don't give up on God. I don't become despondent or depressed, because I know whatever the devil is doing to me, I say God can turn it around just like that. And we have to keep this hope and this belief in the power and the person of Jesus Christ, that no matter where I'm at in my life, that God will not abandon me. No matter what it looks like right now that's coming up against you, God has not abandoned you. God will never forsake you. He'll never let the enemy just devour you. Say, God has not forsaken me. And what the enemy does to people, especially, like, I think about this is so important, and really the thing that God has had me to do during the summer is to get our people strong. It's not only strong for what he is going to do for us, it's to help us to get through things that are perpetrating through the airways to make people doubt God, to doubt what God's ability is. And so God had put it in my heart to get us back to we're interdenomination of faith. Meaning that we all come from different walks of the world. We come from the East Coast, the West Coast, the Midwest, the city, the country. Some of us are military. Some of us are not. Some of us have been Baptist. Some of us have come out of Pentecostal. Some of God's Church of God in Christ. Some of us are the AME, whatever the case may be, whatever your thing is. We're interdenomination of faith. It's people who come together, no matter where we come from, and our faith and our trust is going to be in who? Jesus Christ and Him alone. It's in Jesus Christ and Him alone. And the thing of it is that believers are required to believe. That's what we do. The Bible says what a man hopes for, what a man sees, why do he hope for it? If he already got it, you don't need to release no faith for what you see. You release faith for what's not happening. Meaning this, that he had not, I was laying on the floor and he was talking to me and I sat up and I told my wife, God said, watch what you are saying. Last night. He said, watch what you are saying. Stop speaking the facts. Stop speaking the facts. The fact is, your marriage is look like it's about to be divorced. Stop talking like that. The fact is, your body do hurt. Stop talking like that. Stop owning pain. The fact is that you might not have all the money that you need to do what you need to do and do it at a high level. Stop talking like we just barely got enough. Say, stop talking like that. He says, Your solution and your remedy is the name I've given you. Ooh-wee. The just shall live by faith. The just shall walk by faith. And the only way they're going to do that, they must talk faith. Never get so consumed, the loss in the issue and the problem and the struggle of what's going on in your life that you devote your time to talking about it. Watch this, because if it's something that's discouraging you, you're allowing the enemy to siphon your strength by using your words against you. If I'm always talking about I'm down, I'm always talking about I don't feel well, I feel depressed, you're ciphering your own strength. You go up on that car, you cutting your own fuel line. How many know faith is a fuel line? Joy is a fuel line. It keeps you going when you want to give up. And he says the thief comes to do what? To steal from you, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus says, I come that you might have life and do what? Have it what? More abundant. This is the MO of Jesus. That's the MO of the devil. So if something is being stolen from you, who did it? If something is being destroyed in your life, who did it? If something is being killed off in your life, who did it? If your joy is being killed and you have no peace, who's doing it? It ain't God that's doing it. That's not God's MO. That's not how he operates. That's not how God moves in the earth. Say the devil did it. The devil is behind it. And so the question becomes, again, why are so many people blaming God? Like God is trying to use the devil. I always use this analogy. Why would God use Charles Manson to discipline me? Why would he take Ted Bundy and have him to whoop your kids if he was next to your neighbor? If Ted Bundy whooping your kid, he just tenderizing that meat because he going to eat them. You understand? The God would never use the enemy to like that for you. He attacks because that's what he do. He kill because that's what he do. If he's stealing, that's what he, if you're going through loss, God about to help you take it back. So I say God is going to help you take it back. Now you have to assess the situation to see, did I do anything? If I didn't do nothing, then God going to help me get it back. If I'm walking up right before God, God got a responsibility and he will help you get it back. So people are blaming God. And the number one reason why evil happens in the earth is that evil comes from the work of the devil. That's what John 10:10 is about. Evil comes through the work of the devil. So a lot of time Christians open themselves up. Thank you, God. A lot of time Christians open themselves up, Jazz, because they start living backwards in accordance to the word of God. Jesus is life. He gives life. L-I-V-E. It's in the word. The revelation is in the word. L-I-V-E, live. E-V-I-L is to live backwards in accordance to the thing that is written. So when we live backwards in accordance to the stuff that's written, evil, we give evil opportunity to come into our life. So we shouldn't be acting like, well, we don't know where it comes from. All we have to do is just say, just straighten ourselves out. Straighten ourselves out. God, you don't need nobody. You don't need no prophetic work because most of the time we already know how it got up in there. Say, straighten yourself. All you got to do is just straighten that thing out. You ain't got to apologize to a million different people. Just straighten that thing out. And when I straighten out the evil, then I start living in accordance to the things of God. Say, this is how God does it. All we got to do is straighten some stuff out. The second reason why I come to earth, it comes into the earth because of men's personal sin. Romans 8 talks about it. It talks about the earth is crying out and is moaning. The earth didn't do nothing. Why is the earth groaning? And why is the earth decaying? And why does trees die? And why does grass? Because the earth responds to the sin of humanity. Ever since the fall, the earth responds to the sin of humanity. Wasn't nothing dying before Adam and Eve sinned in that garden? Animals wasn't killing each other. The world responds to humans that's living on natural dirt. And it be crying out. So the devil's evil, he's working. The second thing is the sin of people's personal sin can bring things into the earth. And the last thing is that the earth is cursed because of the sin of humanity in the garden. So we have to figure out where it's coming from, and then we can cut it off and do something about it. If it's my personal stuff, I can fix it. If it's the devil, I can bind it. But if I ain't did nothing to do nothing to get it, then I can expect God to reward me for going through on his behalf. Are there times where people go through and God allowed it? He allowed Job to go through, and Job hadn't done anything. And God says, had you considered my servant Job? And he was right. The devil had been attacking him, but because there was no sin in Job's life, nothing could happen to him. Meaning that when you walk upright before God, you are still going through attacks. You just don't feel it because your righteousness in God is deflecting it. So what we'll assume is that when I start going through in this life, it must be something that I did. It must be, no. When righteousness was deflecting it, you was under an attack the whole time. Everybody, no matter what you're feeling in this place right now, you are under an attack, but you don't feel it because you've been walking in righteousness. You've been doing what was right before God. You've been spending time with God, and that binds up, don't bind him, but it blocks the enemy from coming through in your life. But there are times that people go through and they ain't did nothing. Job did nothing. Okay, what was God? What was the whole point about this thing? When it was all said and done, God rewarded Job for staying committed to him by proving to Job, watch this, God already knew Job's love was authentic, by proving to Job that Job is who God said he was and that Job would love God for nothing. And see, when you will love God for nothing, God would give you the world. But when you go after the world at God's expense, the enemy will take it from you. But when you will love God for nothing, God will give you the world. Are you catching that? If you will love God for nothing, if he don't do nothing else, you still going to love him. God going to make sure that you always live in abundance because you would serve him for nothing. Many people won't serve God unless he's doing something for them. They're not coming up. Let them start going through. They're going to miss. I say the minute they start going through, they're going to start missing. Talking about, I'm just going to stay home and fast and pray. I'm going to tell you right now, the devil going to take your mind if you separate from believers and you start going through. Why? I'm going to show you that part of the believer's job is to encourage other believers while it's today. See, I don't always know what your today holds because you don't know. But when I see you going through, my job is to encourage other believers while it's today, because tomorrow they might quit. My job is to find you, come sit with you, come visit you, come speak into your life, come encourage you about the things of God, the things that God has revealed about you to me, about the thing that his words say he'll do for all of his children. And if he ain't gave me no specific word, I can talk about words that he said I'll do for all of my children. The Bible says I've never seen what? Nor what? So if it's a financial situation, I got a word for you. And so our job is to ensure that we don't leave, say, no man left behind. The army didn't come up with that. That's Jesus' body. That's the word of God. Say, no man left behind. Encourage everybody while it is today. So the devil is behind all the evil. That's my whole point. And Jesus is here to turn it around for somebody today. He said to encourage somebody today He says he going to set your life back in order. He's not going to do it without your permission, though. You understand? God would not invade anybody's life without your authorization. So that debunks this theory, brother, that if God want it done, it's going to be done. If God want me delivered, I'm going to be delivered. If God want me healed, I'm going to be healed. He already established he want all that stuff for you, but if you don't give him permission to get in there, he's not going to do it. So you have a play in your own deliverance. Say participate. Say you must participate in your own deliverance. Say you must participate in your own breakthrough. Well, how do you do that? You confess the word of God. The scripture says in Hebrews that he is the apostle and the high priest of your confession. This is why God set me up in the middle of the floor and says, watch what you're saying. Don't speak the facts. Speak the solution. Speak what's happening that you sense is happening in the spirit realm. Don't speak the facts. Speak the solution. Because the fact is you could be dying. And just because some doctor tell you that you're about to die don't mean that you have to die. I already have a word from God that I'm supposed to live and not die. I'm not going to come in agreement with you. I'm not going to speak that over myself. Listen, I'm not going to punch myself in a street fight. Only a dumb. Don't punch yourself in the face spiritually when you're going through warfare. Don't talk against yourself. Don't talk against your church. Don't talk against your, don't know nobody's children, but don't talk about their children. Don't talk about this my sickness, this my diabetes, this my sugar, this is my. It ain't nothing is mine. That's what the devil is using. See, I live in an abundant life. Say, the abundant life is assigned to me. Say, the abundant life is assigned to my family. The abundant life is assigned to my church. It matters where you go to church. If you come to church and you always feel like the strength is being siphoned out of you, that person is mishandling the word somehow. There are times when you need to correct the body of Christ, but you're not going to do that. You're not going to do that every single. You're not going to rebuke and correct and bind every. I mean, that's what you can bind, but you're not going to do that every single Sunday and then think people going to have the juice to keep going. They're not going to have the fuel to keep going. I say they're not going to have the strength. We've all seen it before. You've seen churches that were thriving and people was doing good and they stayed in this place where people just, I mean, the help started pulling back. The people on staff started pulling back. And before you know it, that church is closed. It's no longer in existence no more. Say, Jesus is my help. Jesus is my strength. Jesus has come to help us. But you're not going to do that every single week to people. They're not going to have nothing to keep going on. At some point, you need to look at the problem and prophesy the solution. And if they won't do that to you, sometimes you got to stand in your mirror and you got to prophesy your own solution. You got to prophesy your own way out. You got to prophesy your own breakthrough. But you can't stay down there and then think you're going to live. Say, God is saying, we getting up. Say, we getting up. Say, we getting our joy. We getting our peace. We getting our increase. We getting our homes. We getting our jobs. We getting our land. We getting our businesses. We getting our deliverance. We're getting our peace back. This is what Jesus came to bring to people. This is what he come to do. And when you always stuck in these veins where you just always on somebody's throat, man, it ain't going to end well. Say, tell three people, say your life is going to another level. Come on, prophesy to him. Say, your life is going to another level. Come on, say, you can't stay down there. You can't stay down there. You got to go and shake yourself and get up. You have to speak to yourself. Grab yourself by the ear and start saying, self, you know you ain't got no business being down there. Self, you ain't got no business thinking like that. Self, you ain't got no business wallowing in the floor like that. Self, you ain't got no business talking like that. Close your mouth, self, until you can speak to your own self what Jesus is going to do. But you don't keep talking to yourself like that. You prophesy your way out. You talk to your own self. You don't make you crazy. Is the born again believer, do we have the right to the abundance? Do we have the right for the abundance of things? Do we have the right to have abundant joy? I asked them on Wednesday, can you ever have too much encouragement? You never seen nobody just say, you know what? I don't even need that today. I got too much encouragement. No, you see people that have, they discouraged. You can go to Walmart. Some of you are going to leave and go to Walmart. You're going to see people walking, buggy full. If you can go into their bank account, plenty of money. You look at their face, you're going to see discouragement. Because you know what? Money don't solve everything. It can provide some answers to some things in this life that can take pressure off you, but it don't solve all things. If you dying and ain't no cure for it, what does it matter if I gain the whole wide world and I'm supposed to be dead in a week or so? I don't need no more money. I need to be healed. And you can go into places and see somebody who's just had an argument with their husband, or their husband or wife didn't even come home this whole weekend. They discouraged. What did I do to deserve? Have anybody ever beside me ever said that? What did I deserve to do this, to be in this condition? What did I ever do to get to this point? Sometimes it's nothing. Sometimes you're just living right. Sometimes you become the object of the devil's attack because he is trying to steal your joy. He's trying to steal your peace so you won't resist him. But he's not really coming for that. He's coming for something else. It's the thing that you don't seem to be, you don't think it's important to him. It is important to him, but he got to try to wear you down to get it. Say, I'm strong in the Lord. I'm strong in the Lord. Tell him, say, come on, say, if you come up in here, you can expect to fight. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I'm not going to go out like that today, this month, this week, this year. I'm ready. You got to say, I'm ready. I'm ready. You got to be ready. How do you get ready? You build up yourself in the word of God. That's why he don't want people studying the Bible. He don't want people opening up this book because you draw strength when you read this. I mean, the book just seems, sometimes when you're going through anybody just had the book flop open and when you read it, it was speaking right to your situation. That ain't really the way to study it, but sometimes God is trying to get a word to you and he know you are so weak and despondent that you don't even know what you need. And so God said, I'm going to help you out. I'm going to let the book fall right open to the page where you need to hear me speak to your situation. Say, God is an abundant God with abundant breakthroughs. And saying, they find in me, they find in me. Abundant living is the right of the believer. Say, I got exclusive rights. Say, I got exclusive rights. Meaning that no matter what the devil do to you, certain things he can never take from you. He can kill you. What does that do? I got exclusive rights to heaven. You didn't demote me. You promoted me. The Bible says if they had knew what they was doing to Jesus, they never would have crucified him because they turned Jesus into the Christ. They released the Christ by killing him. But at this time, he was limited. But when they crucified Jesus, that's why when you read it after that, it's Christ. You see him. You see the Christ break forward after he'd been crucified. And so the very thing that the devil's doing to you, he's loosened a level in you that you will never, ever get to unless he puts you into that condition. And he think he breaking you, but he actually releasing you. I say he think he breaking you, but he actually releasing you into a new level in God, because there's certain things when you're in God, you got exclusive rights to be blessed. Believers should never accept poverty. They should never accept sickness. They should never accept depression, because I got exclusive rights to this. He became poor that I might become rich. He became sick that I could be healed. Whatever it is, say, I got exclusive rights to this. Say, I own healing because he lives in me. So I don't accept the negative. I don't accept him just beating me up and running me around. So this word abundant is, again, it's abounding, it's abundant, it's exceeding. No matter what you say in the Bible, it's the same word. It's excessive. is plentiful. It means that you got more than enough to spare. Man, write that down, because that's going to be so critical, because I'm going to show you that sometimes, Sister Fabiana, people have to show up with more than just a word. Yeah. Are you following me? See, a lot of time, people want to bring people words, but then if they had done what they were supposed to do, they could have also been the solution. Meaning that if I have excess or more than enough, and what you really need is that God going to come through financially for you, and God is going to catch you up on all of your bills, and God is going to pay for your college. He's going to give you your salary for a year so you can get your first year of college completed so you can get a better job, and he don't want you working. He not only sent you a prophetic word, he gave me the surplus to give to you. Meaning sometimes you got to have more than just a word. This is why he wants churches, he wants people in churches to fight against this. And I know people have gotten off when it would come down to telling people about increase and stuff like that. I know people are in the gullah, but people are in the gullah when they talk about sanctification too. You can find people that's way off when they talk about holiness. I mean, what does makeup really have to do with holiness? I mean, I heard you say that this morning in Sunday school. What does really wearing a real long dress have to do with being holy? Don't stop it from coming up. What does that really have to do with anything? It don't make you no more pure because you don't wear extensions or you don't wear wigs. It don't make you no closer to God. So when we're thinking about these things, we have to be able to move past some of that junk. And when we give a person the word, understand that I might be the solution. So when you start talking about surplus and excess, You were able to be a blessing to some families in this place. Why? Because you had surplus. So people will be talking about, people talking about increase in church, and you shouldn't talk about that. And that's why they be running out there to other people, because you give them a word, but you can't help them no other kind of way. I mean, no, we live in the overflow in here. And sometimes you have to realize that if you got it, don't be telling them what God is going to give them. You take it out your surplus and give it to them. No, he's trying to use you. And I'm going to deal with that here more differently, but it's great quality. Overflowing. I think Young's and some of the lexicons say, and it's probably the most accurate, super abundant. It means surplusage. Say surplusage. So the point is that superabundant life or living is because of a superabundant God. That's how you get it. So what we've been taught, Sister Fabiana, in the body of Christ, is that living in lack makes you more holy. But that's not true. That's why people love to keep preachers. They won't, I said this, that people, they use the Pope as their prime example, and they want you to think that the Pope is poor. They say, well, how much does the Pope get? He get less than $100,000 a year. I mean, they own their own country. He fly all over the world. He eat what he want to when he want to. He's not poor. I say he not poor. They wanted you, and I love this man. No knock at him. Probably one of the most, one of the highest generals that's happened in Atlanta. People were talking, and you listen to him talk about Billy Graham. They make you think Billy Graham is poor. He's not poor. And he shouldn't be. And his children ain't poor. And his grandchildren wasn't poor. Why? He's ministering around the world to people, to kings, presidents. And they compensate him for coming in there. And people, when you get people saved and you really get people delivered, they want to help you. So just like Zacchaeus, he sold half of what he had into Jesus' ministry. When you get a person delivered from crack, poor people don't smoke crack. They use heroin and cocaine and stuff that really costs a lot of money because they like to feel important even when they high. But when you get them delivered, they sow a lot into you. For your ministry, and guess what it is? And I'm going to show you, it ain't all supposed to be given to the poor. Yeah. I'm going to show you scriptures. Because that's what people make you think you're supposed to be doing. And then they wonder why these guys are dying in their 40s and 30s and 50s. Because they're working full-time jobs, and then they spend another 40 preparing and dealing with God's people. And they depressed. Do you know why a lot of them depressed? Because his wife going off of him, because his kids need shoes, and he can't get them no shoes because he's serving the Lord. How many know that God got enough even for the preachers and for people who serving in full-time ministry? They ain't supposed to be struggling and worrying about what they're going to eat. That's the devil. And they should leave them churches. If you can't get them free, find somebody that'll help you somehow. I'm young enough. I'm retired. I couldn't do what we was doing if I wouldn't retire from the military. And we still work. I say we still work. But living in lack is of the curse. When they were in Egypt, the Bible talks about that they were suffering. Why? Because they're living in lack. They were even being required to produce for another man's businesses while he paying them pennies. Do you realize that's why when you apply for a job and they say they give you a range of $31 to $47, you know what you should put on the paper? $48. They got the money. I'm helping you whether you know it or not. Because you think that if you put the lowest amount that it's going to give you more credibility, and they thinking, why your labor's so cheap? Why you underbidding against yourself? Say, I deserve the maximum. Say, I deserve the maximum. And when you put the maximum down, it's amazing, Deacon Henry. They seem to come up with it. They sit you down in the chair and say, well, we can't give you that. You know, that's why you want to have surplus. You know, I thank you for your time, sir. Wait. No, I had one of my spiritual daughters do that. And they sent the person, got to jump over the little thing to spin. They sent somebody out there to run and jump over that to catch them, to give them what they asked for, and then some. Say, I deserve. I'm helping somebody's faith in this place this morning. So they was living in lack. The Egyptians are putting this bitter. They became bitter because they was living in lack. I watched a young man. He demonic. He need deliverance. So much hate in his heart. Talking about he was going to, just got out of prison, talking about what he was going to go do to his own blood brother. Because the mama died and left the inheritance check to him. He gave him $120 and took the suit back that he used for the funeral back from the boy. And the boy said, as soon as I get out this crutch, I'm going to do something to him. The first murder was committed by a brother on a brother for money. The first murder. And these, see, when you live in lack too long, it can affect your spirit, especially when you can't explain why people that you think that you should be getting blessed before are getting blessed before you. And you saying, I'm serving you. I'm coming. I'm praying. I'm trying to do the best I can. And that stuff can get down in you, but they living in lack. And then God took them from the lack. He took them to the wilderness. Remember? He takes them to the wilderness, and in the wilderness, they were being fed. It's in your Bible, and I think it's in Exodus, I want to say 6. But he's feeding them manna from heaven. Heaven is feeding them directly, but watch this. That wasn't God's best. It wasn't God's best because when you read it, they only had enough for today. There was only allowed to collect extra on the Sabbath day, and if they collected anything above that, it would rot. Are you following me? So they went from not having enough to having just enough, but just enough wasn't God's best. Do you know that a lot of people believe that if I just have enough for me and my family, they think they done hit a home run, but they cannot be a blessing to nobody else. They want to give you a word, but they ain't got no solutions because they are stuck in living in just enough, and just enough ain't enough when you're trying to be a blessing to the world and people around you. Say, I need more than enough. I need more. Then he takes them from just enough, from living in lack to living in just enough. He took them into Canaan. And when they got to Canaan, they found that that place was loaded with milk and honey. That they had grapes the big size of their head. They had water. They had all the land. They had everything that they need. That's where God is trying to take this body of Christ. He's trying to move us from not enough to move out of just enough to where you're living in the overflow, because the surpluses, it's, watch this, you cannot have a real ministry without surplusage. You can't be a blessing without surplusage. You was only able to be a blessing because you had more than enough, and because you can take what you got and give it to somebody else, but if you don't have surpluses, you solved their problem but created a problem for yourself. You solved their problem. They didn't get put out. But now you was about to buy your kids shoes and y'all was about to do some other things. You don't have that no more. How many know God is calling us to excess? God is calling us to the abundant life. He's calling, that's why he going to grow our own millionaire. I don't care whether people like it or not. The bottom line is the same people that reject this message in the end are going to be blessed by the message that they rejected, even though the blessing is coming by somebody that received the word. So I received that word. Say, abundance is coming to me. I'll never live in lack. My children will never live in lack. I'll always have what I need. I'll always have more than enough to be a blessing to people around me. We live in the overflow. We are game changers and life changers for those that don't have what God has given unto me. I did nothing to deserve it. I just positioned myself in God to be a blessing, and now God has made me. God has made me. God is making me the blessing. Give the Lord a hand to play. He making some of you the blessing. I want to be the blessing. Anybody else? I say I want to be the blessing. I mean, over the last few years, I think we went out with a lot of people, took a lot of people out to eat, and I try to always get the check. I don't ever want them to pay, because the blessed always pays. You hear what I'm saying? The blessed will undermine you to get the ticket, because the blessed want to be blessed. So I'm securing my surplus. You got to get your faith out there. So I'm securing my surplus. So God is moving me from just enough to more than enough. Can he do it? See, the enemy, I think one of the reasons why it's getting us to target it, I know one or two, I think I knew two of them, is that this fear mongering that they put out there about recession makes people worry. Are they going to come for my job next? They're going to cut my hours. They're going to cut my pay. You know, I had planned on buying a house this year, but they jacked the interest rates up, not me personally, because interest rates don't really mean as much to me as it mean to other people. I figure if God going to give it to you, he'll give you the money to pay for it. See, the truth of it is, the whole thing about this price hike, it is to slow down, you know, people escalating price, but it's to really kind of tame the housing market. But yet you sold 9 houses last month. So people, the other people out here that think like me, that if God get me to it, he'll give me what I need to take care of it. I'm not gonna lose my car. I'm not gonna lose my house. My kids not gonna have to drop out of college. I'm not gonna have to stop giving to the church. I'm gonna be able to live. Say, I'm gonna be able to live, and I'm gonna live at a high level. Say, I'm gonna live. And I'm going to live at a high level. And the other thing of it is that You need surplus because I've been trying to tell you, I can't tell you that it's this year, I can't tell you that it's next year, but some of you got family members that's going to follow you. The excess is going to ensure that their arrival don't create problems for you. Your excess, the excess that God is giving you, is going to ensure that their arrival don't create problems for you. That people will tell you that we're going to pay you back, and you know they ain't got the money to pay you back, so don't put no pressure on them. Say, I live in the overflow. It ain't going to be no stress on you when they show up and they need X, Y, and Z. You're going to be able to secure it. I ain't talking about people trying to use you. I'm talking about people with legitimate needs, things that God has ministered to you. And a lot of time, he ministers seed to the sower, but that don't mean that just because somebody solicited what you're harvesting means you have to give it to them. You're going to be spirit-led, and you're going to meet the things that God is telling you in the right order, and you're going to have more than enough to do it. Say, I live in the overflow. So the enemy wants you to fear running out. God wants us to think about running over. I said, the devil wants you to fear running out. You're not going to run out. So I'm never going to run out. So I'm never going to run out. Say, almost red ain't red. So I'm never going to run out. Why is this important? Go to Ephesians 1. I love Deacon testimony. Deacon is in the strangest testimony this Wednesday. And I loved how the people of God were celebrating them. So I got next. So a lot of times people don't share. You always watch out for people when God blessing you, they can't celebrate you. Because they envy you. And if they'll envy you, they'll try to steal from you. And if they'll steal from you, they'll become a traitor. They'll sell you out to get what you got. So when people can't celebrate you, when God is blessing you, you don't have to run them out of your circle, but you should keep your eye on them because they're not really happy for you. And everybody not happy for you when God still blessing you, and that bitterness is killing their surplus. That's why God won't give them no increase, because they're so bitter when he still blessing somebody else. No, we celebrate each other up in this place, because the closer I get to you in praise and in the spirit realm, say, I got next. It's opening up the doors for me, for God to do something incredible for me. And let me tell you something. He's getting ready to do some incredible things for some incredible people and some incredible families that's in this church. Say, I got next. I got. Watch and see. Because what I love about this church, can I just minister today? What I love about this church is that I never really seen a bunch of people that they don't love money. They don't mind giving. They don't mind helping people. I mean, it's incredible, because you think about it, you think some of the things that we've been able to pull off in a short amount of time, we're seeing God's favor in this place. We're seeing him doing it for people in this place. We're seeing God increasing people. We're seeing people getting their marriages and getting their families and getting their homes and getting stuff in order. We're seeing God live through this stuff, but people don't have no problem helping each other. It's incredible that week after week, there are people that's been closed since we've been in existence. And we got a handful. I don't want to say we got a handful of people, because I don't want to prophesy up on us. We're growing every single week. We're growing by leaps and bounds. But ain't nobody in competition with nobody. Say, I got next. I got next. I got next. I mean, within a few seconds, when I was saying, hey, we want to get Pastor Jay here, it was 10 hands. Pop, 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 pop. You know what they're giving out of? Surplus. God prepared them to have it, so I got next. Ephesians 1, because he's getting ready to do some things that no eye have seen. I'm telling you. See, when you say millionaires, people get intimidated by that. Man, there are people that's billionaires, multi-billionaires. You got people on the planet that's trillionaires. And we still having the body of Christ is still having a problem believing for millionaire status. See, I got next. We having a problem believing for millionaire status. We behind. The earth is the Lord's in the fullness thereof. We got to get our thinking up to where we can match what God really want to do in the earth. So while we're prophesying and we're telling her, you got to move out for that boy, we can go buy her a house. Because she's not about to move out. And say, here, this is a year's salary. This is enough to get you on your feet. So I got next. And when you think about trying to be a blessing to people, I want to start other ministries in this city. We're supposed to have north, south, east, and west, and we should be able to put them up and not have a bunch of debt and burdens up on them, release other ministries around the country, not so we can look like we're some spiritual big shots, but Jesus is soon to come, and if you build 100 more churches in this city, you wouldn't have enough room to get to people. They wouldn't have nowhere to come worship at. We're going to have multiple millionaires in this church. I'm telling you. I'm telling you the God's honest truth. I'm not just trying to shout you and jump you. I'm telling you because some of you, your whole goal is to be a blessing to the body. You can understand where you're going if you understand how much it costs to really do that. Say, I got next. If you understand what it really financially takes to do that, God will start positioning you to gain it so that you can do it. Do you know that's really in some people's heart in this place? I know it to be true. Ephesians 1. Y'all get anything? Some things men can't do. That's why God got to do it. He says, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us word who believe? Superabundant breakthrough. Exceeding great power needs a superabundant God. And God ain't slacking nothing. He ain't lacking in nothing. I'm not going to get to it today because I don't really have the time. But he says to us word who believe. So everybody ain't believe. You know, like I said, I spoke that word about the realtor and now she killing it, right? There's some people who want to believe that for millionaire status, but they don't believe that they can believe for it. The fact that you can believe for it means that you're rejecting the ability to believe for it. Say, I got next. See, because the enemy has trained some of us that we're supposed to live month to month. He's trained some of us to think that we can never rise above. There's plenty of people who came in here with no education. Now they got degrees. As a matter of fact, I don't think we had not one business owner until I started ministering and preaching and prophesying that. And now we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We got a whole list of business owners. But then none of them showed up business owners until they showed up here. Now we got plenty of them. Does it matter who you listen to in the earth? It does. We don't function with a whole bunch of sicknesses in this church. You know why? Because a lot of sicknesses are triggered by stress in people's body. They throw other stuff off in their body. Say, by his stripes, we live in healing. We live in healing. We live in healing. We don't have migraines because we ain't stressed about nothing. Our backs don't hold stress because we ain't got no stress. We shift our stress to the blessed God, and the blessed God takes our stress. Watch this. He says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him on the right hand in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers and might and dominion in every name that is named, not only in word, but also in that which is to come. He put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over things in the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So if we're seated in him in heavenly places, we're seated far above principalities. We're seated above powers. We're seated above all these demonic things that we see happening. And I'm going to tell some of you, if you would change your circle, the mentality that would be released through your new circle would elevate you instantly. But you feel obligated to certain people And their mindset pulls you down. Because you be trying to believe God, and when you get around them, they cipher your strength. They tell you about all the reasons why God can't do that, and you believe that church stuff, you believe that Bible stuff. Say the Bible is right, and when you go on, people still going to be preaching about this and getting it to work for them. But if we would simply just cut certain people off until you can give them a word and then be their solutions and then get them saved, say cut them off. See, when I'm believing God for things, a lot of times, digging the strength, I won't even share with people. Because I know you can deal with certain people. You know they can't believe with that. They still believe in just for whatever. They can't even believe that God can do this to you. You still are telling people about what God called you to be, and you ain't never preached not one sermon. They'd be looking at you cockeyed and crazy. They'll be bringing up all your problems that you told them. And you shared with them what was in your future prematurely, and then they unravel it. They be trying to attack it. They don't mean no harm. They don't mean to personally do it, but you don't share everything with everybody when you're dreaming and when you're believing God, because if they don't have the faith to believe where you're going, they'll try to keep you right where you're at. And you got to sacrifice them maybe just temporarily until you get to where you're going. So I don't tell them. I just won't tell people. I'll just keep on believing God and just keep on doing what I'm doing. Keep on believing God. Keep on doing what I'm doing. Preaching and prophesying to myself sometimes, because sometimes people can't believe it, nor do they want to believe it. They just we're going to heaven. And they got 60 more years down here. They got 80 more years. They just okay with going to heaven. Well, my God, what you supposed to do for the next 50 years? All that stuff can affect your life. It can affect your children's life. It can affect you so bad. Your grandchild is dying and need a surgery, and you ain't and they ain't got no medical insurance. And if you had the money, you could save their life. Would it mean something to you then? Say, we live in the overflow. Say, we live in the overflow. I said, we're gonna call it till we see it and say it till it come. Say, we're going to call it till we see it, say it till it come, and we're not going to be apologetic or ashamed about it. Yeah, that's a good place to praise the Lord. We're not going to apologize. We want to be more than just talk. We want to be more than just talk. A lot of people, all they are is talk. All they want to do is just speak into somebody, but they can't solve nobody's problem. But God is trying to, he said he's moving us. He's moving us. He said to tell some families, tell somebody to position yourself for overflow and excess. He said that there are things of great quality that have been assigned from heaven to seek you out. Say, prepare for it. Say, prepare for it. There's been things that's been released from heaven of great quality to seek you out. God says, prepare for it. Do you believe it? You have to prepare yourself for it, because we're looking at people who showed up in lack and they living in abundance in this place. They showed up here and they were living in lack. They don't live like that no more. Say, we blessed, because we beloved. And when you know that you're loved by God, you can expect God to use you in miraculous ways. He says, if you're in lack, it's not going to last long. Some of you in lack right now, God says it's not going to last long. Do what's right by him. Do what's right by yourself. He said it's not going to last long. It's coming to an end. Say, it's coming to an end. And I curse that spirit of lack that's been assigned to your life, from your family, from your forefathers, whoever was before you. We curse that spirit. You will live in the overflow and excess in Jesus' name. Grab your Bibles. Go to Kings 17. Because the Bible said we can declare a thing and it shall be done. I decree some of you going to another level of living. I decree that this ministry is going to another level of living and growth. I decree that you will have what you need. I decree that your families are coming together. I decree that your peace will increase in your life. that when you lie down, you're going to lie down in a meadow like you laying down in a meadow of green grass, that your peace is going to be so full. That once you leave this place today, that a lot of the stress that has been assigned to keep you sick, you're not even going to be stressed about things anymore, because God has taken you to a different level of living in this earth, not only naturally, spiritually. You're going to see your spirit, like your spiritual ears pop open, and you're going to start hearing God so clearly that it's almost frightening you in the beginning. But no, just listen to what the Lord is saying to you. He's moving you into a different level of living, naturally and spiritually, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hey, listen, I ain't got time. My time is up. Thank you for yours. Say, God is elevating us to a new level of living. Did I stay in the Bible? Can you believe for it? See, we got to get our faith in a place where God can do what he say he gonna do. And there's no sense coming to a God that can do anything and we don't ask him for nothing. We don't believe him for nothing. He straightened out our lives in more than one area we're going to believe for. Let's stand and get out of here. Come on, give the Lord a good hand of praise. Come on, if you're going to give him a praise, give him a praise. So I'm going to another level. So my family is going to another level. This ministry is going to another level. I'm going to hammer this thing home as God would give me authorization. But he don't want us to fear what's happening in the world right now. It will not come nigh unto you. It will not touch your family. It will not touch your career. It will not touch your businesses. It will not come unto you. You will increase in the very hour where other people are going down. You will gain while you may see other people lose. And even in those cases, you'll still be able to reach out and help somebody in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you right now for your spoken word. We thank you for what you're releasing into this atmosphere. We are excited about it. We are encouraged about it, that we can become the blessing, that we have not only what we need, but that you're shifting us into a level where we can become a bona fide natural blessing in the earth. And I pray it over each and every person's life in this place. Remember that you heard it here first. Hey, let me look in Jesus' name. The other week, I prayed for business owners. I didn't realize I was going this way. I was really supposed to pray for Deacon Strange personally, because, and God brought it back to my attention, so you can correct it if you're wrong. But I think the first couple of months, I think you took a break at the beginning of the year. You weren't even selling houses, were you? Were you selling homes? No, she wasn't selling homes. My wife told me that. And I remember calling her up here to pray for her.